everyone. Today's daf. Thank you. All right. Those are a lot to do today. We're gonna make sure to finish because I know there are those here who are davening at 9 o'clock. So Mir Tzachem, we will do as much as we can. Until then, we'll, Baruch Hashem, as we've seen, we've always had a way of somehow balancing everything out. So we're picking up today from Tanur Rabbanan. Today's daf is Ayin Ches. We're picking up from the last three lines in Ayin Zayin on with base Tanur Rabbanan. Banim v'lo banos, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says that, again, the restriction applies to sons and not daughters. Remember, this is Rabbi Shimon from the Mishnah, who holds that a Mitzri, the prohibition on a Mitzri to come in for Dor Shlishi, only applies to sons, doesn't apply to daughters. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hari Hu Omer Banim Asher. But yet the Pasuk says, Banim Asher Yivaldu Lahem Dor Shlishi. So the Pasuk says, the sons that will be born to them, third generation, Hakasuf Tla and Beleda. And I'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that the Torah goes ahead and links everything, ultimately to Leda, ultimately to birth. Rashi says, Asher Yivaldu, Kalan Oladim Lahem. Meaning, Asher Yivaldu, that Lashon over there indicates whoever is born to them, be it sons or daughters. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilav, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hakasuf Tlan Beleda, Lo Matza Yadav of Raglav Bebeis HaMedrash. Had Rabbi Yehuda not made the statement that everything is dependent on the birth, literally, he would not have found a place for his hands or his feet in the base medrash. What does that mean? Kevan d'amar mar, since mar said, kal gerim ikre kal. The Bosse has an interesting discussion. Rashi quotes over here, Meseches Kiddushin. He writes over here, Meseches Kiddushin, i'isa dene kevo sharion la'altar, havilu kal vasuras mitzras rishona ushnei le'mitzri rishon. So also, interestingly enough, there's a dispute as to whether or not kal gerim is called a kal. In other words, when the Torah says that certain people are not permitted to marry into Kal Hashem, does that include converts or not? There's an opinion that holds that converts are part of Kal Hashem also, and therefore any of these individuals we speak about would not be able to marry a ger. Well, that's a problem, because if you would say that a mitzris, as soon as she converts, becomes a full-fledged Jewish, she's part of Kal Ger, she's part of Kal Yisrael, then the problem, of course, is who is the Mitzri Rishon and the Mitzri Sheni going to marry? Because then essentially there's no one in their marriage pool. They're not permitted to marry a regular Jewess, quote-unquote, and they're not permitted to marry Gerim either. Top of Ayin Ches. Mitzri Sheni Bamai Yitar. Who could a Mitzri Sheni possibly marry? So, Bosa, I remember what the Gemara is suggesting over here. Reb Shimon is the one who said that a Mitzri Rishona, as soon as she, that the three-generation waiting period for Mitzrim is only on the men and not on the women. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says that's not true, because the Torah hinges the prohibition on Leda, on birth, which indicates whether it's boys or it's girls who are born, there's still the three-generation moratorium. Remember, we spoke about earlier, it's not really three generations, it's really two generations, because the third generation could already marry in. So the Gemara says over here that were it not for Rabbi Yehuda, a male Mitzri convert would be in big trouble, because if you accept the idea that Kal Gerim is called Kal, that again converts are considered to be part of the normative Kal Yisrael, then a Mitzri Risheni would have no one to marry. To which the Gemara says, well, Dilma di'i avar v'nosiv. Perhaps, again, you could have a situation where what? He would violate Talocha, marry Yisraelis. Where, let's say, he'd marry a regular Jewess. To which the Gemara says, no. Di'i lo kasev kra. For situations like that, the Torah does not create a pasuk. Meaning, the Torah does not speak about in theoreticals. The Torah speaks about, again, in concrete Talocha. The Gemara says, ay, hari mamzer, di'i v'kasev kra. But yeah, what about the prohibition of a mamzer? Now, mamzer is only created if what? If someone commits a prohibited act. To which the Gemara says, no. De'ili isura kasev, de'ili hetera lo kasev. The Torah does speak about theoreticals in the realm of prohibition, but the Torah does not speak about theoreticals in the realm of heter. I hari machzir grusha, so de'ili hetera v'kasev. But what about the case of machzir grusha? We had this case already earlier on. This is the situation where the Torah tells us that if a man divorces his wife and she subsequently marries someone else, and then second husband divorces her, she may not remarry her first husband. However, let's say she did, and they have children together. So as much as she is asura, she becomes a halala, she would be asura. Her children are absolutely okay. So you see over here that the Torah does write technical cases, lehetera, to which the Gemara says, hasa mishum ikari surahu dekasve. No, that pasuk is primarily written to teach us halacha machzir grushaso. And the fact that we happen to learn out that her children would be permitted, that's a secondary issue. Tan Rabbanan. In ne'emar banim lama ne'emar doros ve'in ne'emar doros lama ne'emar banim. So listen to this. The pasuk over here, the Gemara is quoting, is banim asher yivaldu lahem dor shlishi yavo lahem bekal Hashem by the mitzri, right? So the Egyptian converts, so children third generation are permitted to marry into the normal, we'll call it normal assembly, normal kal Hashem. So the Gemara is asking over here, why does it have to say both banim and doros? Why do you need both of those phrases? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Im ne'emar doros, lama ne'emar banim. Had it just said banim and not doros, ha'isi omer ben rishon v'sheni aser, shlishi mutravos. This is very interesting. Had it just said the third child and not said generations, I would have thought, what does third child mean? Literally, the third child, right? Child number one is restricted, child number two is restricted, but child number three is totally fine. Bless you. Therefore, what? L'chach ne'emar doros, therefore it has to say generations. Vim ne'emar doros, only ne'emar banim. And if it would have just said generations and not said sons, ha'yisi omer, I would have said, li'osan ha'omdim al har Sinai. Well, see, here's interesting. If it would have just said generations and not sons, I would have thought that it's just a generation, an objective generational count beginning from when? Beginning from Har Sinai. So from three generations after the Torah was given, that's where there is a restriction on the Mitzrayim. But again, now that we're clearly out of that three-generational moratorium, again, an Egyptian who converts can marry in immediately. L'chach ne'emar banim, lohem. And I will say, why does it have to say lohem? Again, remember, it says, banim asher yivaldu lohem. Why do I need that? This is actually interesting. Mehem mane. What does that teach us? If you look at Rashi, mehem mane, hu rishon b'no sheni u'ben b'no mutter. The Rabbos say, again, the count begins from the first man, from the first person who converts, the first Egyptian who converts. Lohem, another drasha from Lohen, halach achar psulon. It teaches us that what? That we go after the psul. Look at Rashi. Lohem, halach achar psulon. Trei lohem ksivi. Lohem is written twice. Umashma halach acharehem. Deim nitmu bikshirim kigon mitzvi shenasa yisraelis. The Yisrael shenasa mitzvis halach acharein v'havlat pasal ador shlichi. So Rabbi say lohem means that if, let's say, one of these people marries someone, an illegal marriage, they marry someone who they're not permitted to, that the identity of the child goes after the, what we'll call, what's the right word? I don't want to use the word tainted, because it's not tainted in a negative way, but goes after the compromised parent. So therefore, again, for example, if a Mitzri Rishon marries Yisraelis, the identity of that child goes after the Mitzri Rishon father. So that child would be a Sheni. And you have to go ahead, and the Torah had to write Lahem, and Asher Yivaldu. Why? Because of Rahman Asher Yivaldu. Because if it would have just said Asher Yivaldu, Hava Mino Mibnehem Mane. So what's actually interesting? Had it just said Asher Yivaldu, I would have thought that when does the clock for three generations start? When the first child is born. That perhaps, again, the original Mitzri convert is not part of the three-generation count, right? It begins Asher Yivaldu, from that which is born. Asher Yivaldu, di kasra mana, Asher Yivaldu, hamina b'mnehem mana, kasra harach mana, lohem. Therefore, it's hard to say lohem to say what? No, that the first generation is who? First generation is the actual convert himself. Because of Rachman Lohem, and had the Torah just said Lohem, Hava Amina Mitzvah Mu'uber, this is actually very interesting. If we had just said Lohem, Hava Amina Mitzvah Mu'uber, Shin Iskairo, He Ubinachad. If I would have just said Lohem, I would have thought about, say, let's say an Egyptian woman converts while she is pregnant. I would have thought that what? She and her son, use son, it doesn't matter, her child, are reckoned as one generation, Ubinachad. Therefore, Kasav Rachmana Asher Yivaldu. Therefore, the Torah says what? Anyone who is born, meaning that even though she converts while she is pregnant, that child is not considered to be like her status, but rather she'll be one and child will be two. Vitzrich lemichtav lohem hacha, vitzrich lemichtav lo gabe mamzer. And it has to say lohem here by the mitzri, and it has to say lo by the mamzer. That's lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem, gam dor asiri, lo yavo lo bekal Hashem. Why do I need this? Because of Rachmana hacha, mishun deba mitipa psula. Because we'll say, remember, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, lo gabe mamzer, lememra halach achar pesulo, shenosek shera b'no mamzer. So we'll say, lo teaches us that if a mamzer marries someone, let's say who is not allowed to, the identity of the child is what? Is lo, is a mamzer. So we'll say, the Torah is now teaching me the same thing in two different places, which is that whenever you have a parent who is compromised, the identity of the child always follows the parents. Now we learned this by Mitzri, and we learned it by mamzer. The obvious question is, why do you have to state this twice? Meaning, again, all you need to do is state it once and it becomes the principle. Whenever you have a compromised parent, identity of the child always follows the compromised parent. Tirush Mar says, I'll tell you why you need to state it twice. Because of Rechmana Hacha, if it would have just said over here means by Mitzri, Mishun Debat Me Tipa Psula, because you must remember, who does a Mitzri come from? Mitzri comes literally from Tipa Psula, from an invalid drop, which means what? He's a Gentile. He's a Gentile, meaning again, he comes from Gentile line. Aval mamzer debami tipa b'ksheri emelavos. So this is very interesting. So the mamzer, as much as the mamzer is created from an act of prohibition, nevertheless, what? Sounds strange. He has good yichus, right? He has good yichus. You know, it's all right. It's not the best circumstances under his birth, but lamaisa, he has two Jewish parents. So I might have thought that in that kind of case, because the mamzer is a full-fledged Jew, therefore perhaps he does not pass on his disqualification to who? To his offspring. So by the Mitzri, where he comes from a Gentile stock, I understand why he passes down a potential disqualification. But for the Mamzer, maybe not. Therefore, again, Abbas, it has to say low by the Mamzer. Because, furthermore, if it would have just said low by the Mamzer, I would have thought, why does the Mamzer pass his disqualification down to his offspring? Because the Mamzer is much more restricted. The Mamzer is never permitted to join the assembly of the Jewish, and he can never fully marry in. But by the case of the Mitzri, remember again, what happens to the Mitzri? Three generations, it's not even so long. And remember again, when we say three, I want to be clear, because it's often misunderstood. It's not really three, it's really two, right? Two generations, you can't. The third can already marry in. So I might have thought that in that kind of case, perhaps again, if the Mitzri Rishon or Mitzri Sheni illegally marries, perhaps they don't pass off that restricted status to their offspring. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, the Torah has to write lo. Torah has to write lo by mamzer and has to write again lohem by mitzri to teach us the halacha by both of them. Amra baravachana amra biyochanan. Mitzri sheni shana. So mitzri rishona. This is an interesting case. A mitzri sheni who marries a mitzri rishona. So remember again, second generation man marries a first generation woman. What is the halacha? Bina shlishi havai. The child is a shlishi. Alma kasavra, what do we see from here? Basar didesha dinale. Why is that? Because the identity of the child is forged by the father. If the father is a sheni, then the maisa, the son, is a shlishi. Masiv Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef raised the kasha. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yochom Mamzirin Litar. A mamzer has the ability to purify his offspring. How so? Mamzer nasa shivcha. If a mamzer marries a shivcha, a maidservant, havlad eved. So remember, again, if you marry a shivcha, which Rabbos say, technically speaking, is prohibited, right? A Jewish man is not permitted to marry a shivcha, but in this case, we're going to actually allow this prohibition for the sake of purifying the offspring. So the mamzer marries a shifcha. What's the status of the child of a shifcha? Is an eved. Shichrero. What happens? Then let's say again, the mamzer emancipates his eved, who also happens to be his biological son. What happens? Nimtza ben chorin. Now we'll say, what happens when you're meshachrer and eved? This is eved kenani. This is eved kenani. Remember, this is not an amavria. This is not a Jewish maidservant. This is a Gentile maidservant who is having relations with, fathering a child with. That son becomes an eved. If he emancipates the eved, that emancipated eved becomes a full-fledged Jew. Again, free from any genealogical imperfections. So what do you see from here? So we'll say, again, now we're not getting, why are we bringing this down? Alma, Basar didosha dinale. Rabbi say, what do you see from here? You see from here that the identity of the child is forged by who? It's forged by who? The mother. This contradicts what we just said before. Because what did we just say before? If a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzris Rishona, so the bride said, what is the status of the child? Child's a Shlishi, which seems to say what? That we go after the father. And yet here we're saying by the case of the Mamzer and the Shifcha that we go after the mother. So which one is it? Shiny Hasan the Amakra. No. By Shifcha, the Halacha is different. Because the Pasuk says, Ha'isha v'yiladeha tihiyah la'adoneha. There it's different. Because Rabbi say, again, it's clear that Lamaisa, the Torah says, that the offspring of a Shifcha is like the Shifcha. So there you have an explicit pasuk. Rabbi said, I want to be clear. The Torah, remember, over here is talking about status, not necessarily talking about Judaic identity. Because Judaic identity, again, everyone's going to agree, is established by the mother, or lack of Judaic identity established by the mother. What we're talking over here more is in terms of status. Who establishes status, father or mother? So the fact that the Gemara said that a Mitzri Sheni who marries a Mitzri Rishon, the child is a Shlishi, that seems to us in terms of status, the child follows the father. Jabal said, of course, we know that already in regular cases, just let's say in terms of tribal affiliation, right? So tribal affiliation, although again, there you have a pasuk that explicitly says that. Okay, massive Rava raises the kasha. Rabbi Yehuda, Min Yamin, so we'll say we've quoted this actually before. Rabbi Yehuda said, Min Yamin was a Ger Mitzri Haya Chavir, he was my friend. Mitamidi Rabbi Akiva, and he was among the students of Rabbi Akiva. Va'amar, what did Min Yamin say? Ani Mitzri Rishon, Venasasi Mitzri Rishona, Esa Libni Mitzri Shnia, Kidei Shihei Ben Beni Roy Lava Lakal. So Binyamin used to tell me, this is now again, remember this is Rabbi Huda talking. My friend Binyamin used to tell me, I'm a first generation convert. I married a first generation mitzvah convert. My son's going to be a Sheni. He's going to marry a Sheni. And good news, which is what? My grandson, right? My grandson will be a Shlishi, totally fine and permitted to marry to the Kal. So Gemara says, I don't understand. So I don't understand. If it's true that status is established by the father, I feel a Rishonami. Even if Binyamin's son, who would be a Sheni, would marry who? Would marry who? A Rishon or Rishona, his son would still be a Shlishi. So the Gemara, because we'll say, remember, Binyamin seems to be very medayik in his words over here. I'm a Rishon, married a Rishon. My son's a Sheni, can marry a Sheni. I don't understand why. If that is established by father, then Binyamin's son, the Sheni, should be able to marry whoever he wants. When I say whoever he wants, meaning either a mitzvah Rishona or a mitzvah Shnia, to which the Gemara says, Ha Amar Lei, Rav Yochanan Latana, Tani Rishona, Ein Achinami. Change it around. Binyamin didn't say that my son has to marry a Sheni. Rather, Binyamin said my son could even marry a Rishon. It doesn't matter. He can marry a Rishon or a Sheni. Either way, the son of my son will be a Shlishi. Ki Asra Avdim Rav Yochanan, Mitzri Sheni, Shanasa, Mitzvah Rishona. So Rav Dimi came along, said, Nein Rav Yochanan, that's what a mitzvah sheni marries a mitzvah rishona, bina sheni. Oh, so we'll say in this version a little bit different. In this version, if a mitzvah sheni marries a mitzvah rishona, the child is a sheni. Alma baser imei shadin alei. Therefore, we see from what? That we go after the mother. Abba said, you should just know, this is how the Rambam paskins. Now, again, remember that today, this, of course, is a moot point because even if you have an Egyptian who comes and converts, that's not the mitzvah we're talking about over here, right? That's because, again, all the nations have been mixed up. But Lamaya said, were you to find a purebred mitzvah, the halacha would actually be like this, that we go after the mother in terms of establishing this status as well. I'm a basri meshadin alei. Amrli Abayis is one second. Ella Hadan Rabbi Yochanan, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Hefrishchatas mu'uberes v'yalda. But let's say the following case: I separated out for a carbon chatas a pregnant sheep. So what happens? So and then the sheep gave birth before I had an opportunity to slaughter to offer it. Ba I have the choice to either use again the mother or the child. So that makes sense. If you say that a child is not considered to be an extension of the mother, literally it means the uber, the child, is the thigh of the mother. If you said the child is not a part of the mother, then essentially when I separate out a pregnant animal, and this is assuming, by the way, I knew that the animal was pregnant. When I separate out the pregnant animal, that's as if what? It's as if I separated out two animals for the chatos. Rabbi said, why would you do this? Apparently people did this at times where if you wanted to be on the safe side, I don't know which animal I want to offer yet. I'm not sure. So I'm setting aside two. Now, of course, again, this is not a good idea. If you separated out two animals, one to offer, one for achrayis, miskaper ba'achas mehen, you offer up one of them, vashniya tira. Now, I'll say the problem, of course, is the one that you do not use, it's not like you could go ahead and, barbecue it. You have to let it pastures. Now, the truth is, once it pastures and develops a mum, so according to some, then you could redeem it. But, of course, already it's suffered a decrease in value as a result as well. In any event, the Ella... But if you say that the child, now we'll say this whole thing only works if you say that we don't look at the child as an extension of the mother. But if you see that the child is an extension of the mother, then this is the offspring of a chatas, and vlad chatas lemisa azil, and the offspring of a chatas ultimately what? Ultimately is put to death. Now, Rabbi Sanai, why is this important for us? Because the Maaser, remember again, the Gemara quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who said that a mitzvah sheni, you married a mitzvah rishona, the child is a sheni. Therefore, you see, we go after the mother. So Ishtiki was quiet. Armale dilma sheni hasam dichsiv asher yivaldu. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's, so Rabbi Sanai, remember again, this case, the Gemara quoted this case as a kasha, because the case of the chatas only works if what? If you assume that the child is not an extension of the mother. So we see from the case of chatas that the child is not an extension of the mother. That's a kasha, what we just said before, because before we're saying that again, if the mitzvah sheni marries a mitzvah rishona, what's the child? The child is a sheni, which means he's an extension of the mother. So which one is it? So Amar Leih, no, he says, no, it's different by the mitzvah's case. Why? Sheni hasan dechsiv asher yivaldu. So he said, no, it's different in this case over here. Why? Because Torah says, Asher Tevaldu, Asher Yivaldu, that ultimately, again, that the Torah hinges everything on birth, which indicates to us that the identity of the child is rooted in the mother.
Where it says, you set aside the two and Hashni Atira, you could use that one later for another carbon?
No. Disqualified. Amar Leih, he said to him, Karkafna, smart one. Chazisi l'reishech b'ni amudi ki amar Rabbi Yochanan l'hashmaita. So I said, this is interesting, remember. So now he was, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who made this statement. So over here, Rav Dimi said this over. And Lemaisa, again, he made it sound like this was his own idea. So the other responded, smart, when I saw you at the Shin, Rabbi Yochanan said this. This wasn't your vart. This is Rabbi Yochanan's vart. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kiasa Rabbi Yochanan lahashma, so we'll say, so what do you see from here? That it's dafka in this case of the mitzris, where we dafka go ahead and establish everything after the mother, because the Torah went ahead and dafka said asher yivaldu. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. Listen to this case. Actually, a very interesting case. A Gentile woman who converts and she's pregnant. So what is the halacha? Bina ein tzarich tevila. When her, now let's say, so she converts while she is pregnant. So essentially, what the Gemara is saying is the immersion for geras that she does for herself also works for her unborn child. Right? He's a ger, correct. But he doesn't need his own geirus. So the Gemara says, Am I in tzarech tevila? Why doesn't the child require his own tevila? Look at Rashi. Ein tzarech tevila shum geirus. Desalkalei tevila imei. So they're both geir and they're both converts, but the mother's conversion, the mother's immersion, takes care of her unborn child as well. So the Gemara says, Am I in tzarech tevila? I don't understand why is that. Why is that? The chite mishon Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak dvar Torah ruba umakbid alav chotzeitz ruba sheino makbid alav eno chotzeitz. This is very interesting. So you say the reason is because Rabbi Yitzchak. What does Rabbi Yitzchak say? The Rabbi says, you know, the halacha is that there are certain things that interpose, certain things that if they interrupt the water from coming in contact with the body, create a chatzitz and invalidate the mikvah. Rabbi Yitzchak is the opinion who says that midah oraisa. Only thing that is a chazitza is rubo, saying that covers the majority of the body, umakbid, and a person doesn't want it there. However, rubo she'eno makbid, if something covers the majority of the body, but a person doesn't mind that it's there, then what? That's not a chazitza. Vaha amud beis, vaha amrav kahana, vaha amrav kahana, lo shanu ela rubo, aval kulo, so we'll say, listen to this. Vaha amrav kahana lo shana ela rubo. That's only true, meaning again, Rabbo said that's only true if something covers the majority of the body. However, again, aval kulo chotzeitz. But if something covers the entire body, then what? Then Lamaisa, that would be a chatzitza. So Rabbo say, again, essentially the Gemara is saying over here is that Lamaisa, how could the ubar, right? After all, the ubar is in the mother. So isn't the fact that it's in utero considered to be a chatzitza, right? Again, and even if you want to say, well, the child likes being in the mother, okay, that's fine. But that's good if what? If the mother covers the majority of the child, but here the entire child is inside the mother. To which the Gemara says, no. Hainu revise. Rabbo say, hainu revise means, but this is the normal state of the uber. Rashi says, hainu revise. This is the normal state of, chatzitza means something that what? extraneous that should not be there. But because this is the natural state of the uber, therefore, again, perhaps we could posit that the uber in utero, the mother is not the chatzitza. This is normal existence of the uber. So therefore, again, and perhaps that's why the tevila ultimately works. Ki aser avin am Rabbi Yochanan beumos hala. So fine. So we'll say, so therefore, again, that's the Gemara suggests that lemaisa, because this is the normative state of the uber, therefore, by definition, when the woman does her tevila, then it works for the uber as well. Ki aser avin am Rabbi Yochanan beumos halach acher azocher. When it comes to the nations of the world, meaning Abba say, in terms of establishing paternity by the nations of the world, the identity of the child, not paternity, identity, lineage. A lineage is established, really what we're talking about is national affiliation, is established by the father. Look at Rashi, bu'umos, b'sheva umos le'inyin lo sechayi kol neshama, halach achar azcham. So we'll say, for example, where does this come up? The halach is there were seven nations that were indigenous to Eretz Yisrael, and the halach was we're obligated to wipe out those seven nations when we came into Eretz Yisrael. So let's say, again, you had intermarriage between the nations, the identity of the child was forged by the father. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan b'umos, right? So b'umos halach achar zachar nisgairu, if they converted, halach achar pagum shebishneihem. So ultimately, again, we go after the more compromised one of the two. We're going to define, what does this mean? B'umos halach achar zachar, in the nations, you go after the male, kidisanya, minayin le'echad mina omo shevala knanis v'hotzi ben sha'ata rashe l'knoso be'evet. Rabbi say, how do we know that if one of the nations, meaning against someone other than one of the Zion Amamin, one of the Zion Amamin, had a child with a Canaanis. Remember, a Canaanis is a woman from one of the... Canaanis could either be an actual Canaanis or one of the seven indigenous nations. How do I know if a man, you know, from outside of Eretz Yisrael, a non-Jew, fathers a child with a Canaanis? How do I know she'ata roshay liknoso be'eved, that I could acquire the offspring as ever, which we'll say is another way of saying what? That there's not an obligation to wipe out that offspring. They're not considered to be one of the seven nations. Shene Emar, v'gam b'bnei toshavim hagarim amachem, mehem tiknu, because the pasuk says, from those who live among you, you're permitted to purchase of them for a servant. Yochal afilu echa minaknanim sheba'al achas mina umos v'holid ben shata rosh eliknoso be'eved. You might have thought this is true even if a male Kanani fathers a child with a woman from another nation. Tamud lomar Hashem asher holidu ba'artzichem. Therefore the Pasuk says, he who is born in your land min hanolodim ba'artzichem v'lo min ha'gerim ba'artzichem min ha'gerim ba'artzichem. Dafka, someone who was born in your land, we infer from that what? But whose paternity originates from somewhere else, as opposed to someone who is indigenous to your land. And I will say, this is indeed how the Rambam paskins as well, that when it comes to establishing identity of Zayin Umos, that is established by the father. Niskairu, halach achar apagum shevishneihem. So I will say, remember the Bryce has said that if, let's say again, non-Jews converted, Gentiles converted, and let's say again, each comes with their own what we'll call lineological or national pekala. So we establish the identity of the child by the more compromised of the two. What is it talking about? B'mai. Ilein ba'be mitzri shenasa amonis. If you want to say it's a mitzri who married an amonis, my pogum shebishnehem isbe. So I don't understand, what would be the pogum in that case? Amoni v'lo amonis. Remember again, the woman is totally fine. The woman is totally fine. So meaning, there's not two pigumim. The only pogum there is what? Is the mitzri. So we've already established again that perhaps again by the mitzri, fine, there's no pogum there. Ella, and Rabbi say, remember again, we also already established that by the whole mitzri issue, who does the identity get determined by? By the mother in such a situation. Ella ba'amoni shenasa mitzris. Oh, rather, what's the case? An Amoni married a mitzris. So I will say, now, here we have an interesting issue, because why? The Amoni is forever restricted, right? The Amoni is forever restricted. The mitzris has three generations. So it's like this. If the Amoni marries a mitzris, if they have a son together, Shajay Basar Amoni, then what? The son becomes like an Amoni and therefore is governed by the strictures of his father. Inekeva, if she's a girl, then what? Shajay Basar Mitzris. Then we have her follow her mother. Why, Rabosai? Because if you have her follow her father, then what? She's an Amonis. And what's the halacha by an Amonis? Totally muteres. Therefore, again, we have her follow her mother, who is a mitzvah, and therefore, again, she'll be restricted again. Correct. So essentially what it's saying is that whenever you have two converts who each come with their own interesting baggage, because of the nations from which they convert, the offspring takes on the chumrah of one of the two parents. Says the Mishnah, Mamzerin unesinen asrun ve'isurun isur olam. So we'll say a mamzer is a mamzer. Again, remember, a mamzer is only a situation. Well, actually, we saw that there's a three machlokes between the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, and Rabbi Akiva as to what creates a mamzer. Let's for now just go according to the simple halacha, which is that a mamzer is a child as a result of a union that is prohibited either by Misa or by Karis. Okay, so you fell in the blanks, adultery, incest, all these kinds of things. So Mamzerin, Nisina, we've spoken about the Nisinim extensively, as Rashi says, Nisinim, give onim, sheniskayru ba'arma b'mei Yoshua, v'nastam avadim l'chot ve'eitzim v'shua v'mam. So also remember, the Givonim were one of the nations that lived in Canaan, and therefore, technically speaking, were subject to lo sechai kol nashon, to being wiped out by Klal Yisrael. They were scared, so they disguised themselves as a foreign nation. Yoshua bought the ruse and made a treaty with them. It then turned out that they were indigenous Canaanite nation. But again, Yoshua felt that to wipe them out would have been the Chilul Hashem because he made a treaty with them. So they relegated them to the status of the woodchoppers and the water carriers. So they are essentially, is an interesting thing, they're kind of Jewish, but they're Jewish, but they are exceptionally restricted in terms of who they can marry. So the Mamzerin, Nesinin, they're Jewish. They converted. They're Jewish. But again, they are like Mamzerim in that they are restricted in terms of who they can marry. So Asurin, the Isurin Isra Olam, they never, as opposed to, let's say, Mitzri, who has Adomi, who has a three-generation moratorium with them, or two-generation moratorium, they can come in. A Mamzer, Nusin, can never marry into the general population. Achaz, Zecharim, Ve'echan, the Kevos. And this is true both for men and for women. Amr Reish Lakish says something very interesting. Mamzeres la'acharas saradoros muteres. Listen to this. Reish Lakish posits that a mamzeres is permitted to marry in after 10 generations. Now, where does he get that from? So Yoliv Asiri Me'amoni O Mo'avi, because they learn out an Asiri Bosa. It says by Lo Yovo Mamzer Bekal Hashem Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yovo Lo Bekal Hashem, and it says Lo Yovo Amoni Mo'avi Bekal Hashem Gam Dor Asiri. So watch this. So Mal Lahalon Nekevos Mutaros Afkon Nekevos Mutaros. So Bosa Reish Lakish says just like after 10 generations, what happens? So the females of Amon and Moab are permitted to marry in. So too, again, Mamzeres is permitted to marry us. Now remember, by Ammon and Moab, the woman can marry in right away. So Reish Lakish says like this. A Mamzer can't marry in right away, but at least after 10 generations. That's what Reish Lakish is saying is, Asiri creates a Gzeres Shava. Links Mamzer to Ammon and Moab. Now what's the linkage? So obviously Mamzer can't enter in right away, but at least after 10 generations, a Mamzeres should be reckoned like whom? Like the female members of Ammon and Moab. The female members of Ammon and Moab could enter in right away. The Mamzeres could only enter in after 10 generations. So Mamzer says, I don't understand. So the Gemara asks Akasha, Ima lahalan miyad, afkan miyad. But I don't understand. So if you're going to make the Gzeres Shava, make the Gzeres Shava. And Ammonis and Moavis can enter in immediately. So too, Mamzeres can enter in immediately as well. Kihani Gzeres Shava me asir ve'elech. No. The Gzeres Shava only works from the 10th generation and on. V'ha anan tenan mamzer misina asurin v'isurin isur olam. Echad zecharim v'echad nekevos. But we just heard a Mishnah. And what did the Mishnah say? That mamzerim, male, female, asir for how long? Forever. Lokasha. Ha kimanda amar don mina umine. Had kimanda amar don mina v'uka ba'asra. So we'll say, what the Gemara highlights over here is, interestingly enough, there are two ways you could learn a Gzeres Shava. You could learn it out as don mine umina, learn out the Gzeres Shava and extrapolate every single detail. And others say, no, learn out the Gzeres Shava but establish it in this place. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Ha kimanda amar. Don mine. Look, actually, it's the second Rashi. Don mine umina. Ki garmina milsa milsa. We learn something from Gzeres Shava. Garmina like kula milsa mina. We learn out in totality. The other opinion says, don mina v'oka basra. Lemay detzrichi garmina. When it comes to Gzeres Shava, we only learn out what we need. Lemay glotzricha mukmina basra. But we don't learn out everything. V'hacha mai Gzeres Shava ika b'mamzer. Lo ksiv ad olam. Remember, by mamzer, it doesn't say ad olam. By mamzer, it says just what? Gam dorasiri. ba'amoni mo'avik siv adolam v'alfina mamzer me'amoni b'gzer shava k'detani b'sifri d'beirav ne'amar kan asiri v'ne'amar l'mata asiri ma'asi ha'amur l'mata ad olam af asiri ha'amur kan ad olam sereish lakish savar lakimam d'amar don mine umina ma'al lahalan ad olam af kan od olam umine ma'al lahalan tchav lo nekevos af kan. So listen to this. So essentially what the Gemara says is like this: everything depends on how much you expand the gzera shava. So some expand the gzera shava in totality, some only expand the gzera shava in just a little bit. So Reish Lakish holds like this. Reish Lakish says that just like by amoni mo'avi, so asiri means what? Ad olam. So too by mamzer also means ad olam, but just like by amoni mo'avi it means what? Only the zecharim and not nekevos. So too by mamzeres, mamzerim also means only zecharim and not nekevos. So essentially, the machlokus between Reish Lakish and the Mishnah is how you darshan the gzeirah shava. Our Mishnah understands that yes, there is a gzeirah shava. There's absolutely a gzeirah shava between ammonia, mo'avi, and mamzer. What does the gzeirah shava teach us? That dora siri means what? Forever, ad olam. That's what Gzeirah Shava teaches us. That's it. That's the end. Reish Lakish says, no. You have to expand the Gzeirah Shava a little bit. That just like ad olam by Amon and Moav only refers to who? The men, but not to the women. So too, Dar Asiri, which means ad olam by Mamza, also refers only to who? Only to men and not to women. And I must say, obviously, we don't pass like Reish Lakish. We like the Mishnah that holds that, again, the Isra Mamzer is forever, ad olam, and refers to men and women. Let's do a few more lines. Amar Lahem. Sho'ol es Rabbi Eliezer, mamzeres la'achra asara dari mahu. What is the halacha of a mamzeres after 10 generations? Kisa l'maisa. What do we do with an 11th generation mamzeres? Amar lahem, so listen to Rabbi Eliezer said, mi'yitin li'dor shlishi v'ta'arenu. The truth is, you're never going to find an 11th generation mamzer. If you would bring me a third generation mamzer, I could be metaher. Now, he's not literally meaning that he could go to me. What he's saying is, good luck finding a third generation mamzer. Alma kam savar mamzera lochayi. Because why? He holds that mamzerim did not live. Mamzerim lochayi, Rashi says, shelo yitmo'uk shirim bedorosav, that in general, mamzeric families died out in order not to go ahead and corrupt the familial lines of other Jewish families. V'chin amar Rav Huna, mamzera lochayi, Rav Huna also said, mamzerim don't live. V'ha'an antinan, mamzerin yisurin v'yisurin isra olam. But one second, but yet the Mishnah says, obviously the Mishnah says that the isra of a mamzer goes on forever, which seems to indicate what? That mamzer families did go on. Listen to this. Families that were known to be mamzerim, those families lived. Families that were not known to be mamzerim, those families did not live. Rabbi say, now what does that mean? Because there was a concern like this. If people knew that a family were mamzerim, okay, you know, look, people know to keep their distance, not keep their distance in terms of interaction, but marriage, oh, those are the mamzerim, right? Right? You know, I think you can get that made at the olive wood factory, right? You know, mishpachas mamzerim, you know? So the idea is people knew. So if people knew, you keep a distance. The danger, the familial danger is where people don't know. So the Gemara therefore says, again, families like that, essentially, it's Kadosh Baruch Hu does it, those families died out earlier, so as not to corrupt other familial lines. And again, I'll say families about whom there was a suffix, rashes, diadia velo yadia. So again, it was not fully known, it was only partially known. So in those families, they lived until three generations. No more. How the Gemara says. I'm sorry. Whatever the situation was, I don't know how it is that they died out, but they just died out. Whatever the situation was, whether it's because they didn't have any children or because whatever the situation was, they just died. They just died out. Rashi says over the yadia velo yadia atlas dari dezihiri in shichayi tfei lo chayi dechivan delav davar baruhu mishtach hamilsa. So again, so the mamzerik family certainly were given until three generations because three generations people could keep track of familial lines. Past three generations, there was already a concern that what? That already they would be mixed in. So the Gemara says, Hahu David b'shevuset Rabbi Ami. There was a particular mamzerik family in the neighborhood of Rabbi Ami, Achriz Alei Demamzera Havi. Right? Ultimately, again, that they announced about this family that they were Mamzerim. Bachi va'azel. So we'll say the family was devastated, right? So here again, Rabbi Ami went ahead and he announced, need to clap in shul, right? The Schwartzes, they are mamzerim. They are mamzerim, right? So the Schwartzes obviously were heartbroken or upset. Rabbi Chiya said to them, Rabbi Ami said to them, Amar lei chayim nasati lacha. He said, no, don't be upset. I've just ensured your longevity, because now that everyone knows that you are a family of Mamzerim, you will live. You ultimately will live. It'll be okay, because now again your identity is known. Had your identity not been known, then ultimately again, unfortunately, your familial line would have died out. All right, well, so you know what? We're going to stop over here for today. We're going to pick up right here tomorrow. Three. We'll pick up. Amir, we'll pick up here, Amir. We'll be okay. We'll pick up. We'll be all right.